May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1139. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn 1139. reading from God's holy word is from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word and help Benji to pray.
Oh Lord, do come now and be our helper. Oh, do help us to rightly call upon thy name. Put that true reverence in our hearts, that true humility, that we might fall before thee, that high and lofty one. O Lord, thou knowest we come as poor, unworthy sinners. We would desire to have that true confession in our hearts, to confess our sins before thee, to seek thy mercy, to seek thy forgiveness, to seek thy cleansing. O Lord, we can do none of these things ourselves. It is all of thee. O then, do have compassion upon us and look down on us in mercy this morning. O Lord, we have gathered in thy house once more, the first Lord's Day of another new year. Thou in mercy hast brought us to see this day, caused the natural sun to shine upon us once more. And O Lord, how we do pray that thou wilt come and shine upon our souls in this year. O Lord, that thou wilt come and bless us each. We desire to truly remember thy many mercies to us in the past year. Thou hast brought us through, unworthy sinners that we are. O Lord, thou knowest we have many reasons to be abashed. We have many reasons to fear before thee for our sins and our wretchedness. But thou hast had mercy still. Thou hast brought us through. Thou hast provided for us. Thou hast helped us hitherto. Oh, we desire to acknowledge these things before thee and seek thy mercy still, that thou remember us each and bring us each to truly know thee as our Saviour, our Redeemer. O Lord, the one that alone can cleanse us from all our sin and make us right for that fast hastening eternity. For we know not whether we shall see the end of this year, how long we have here below, but oh, that we might be prepared, that we might be ready, that we might be found trusting in thy work and all that thou hast done, that we might have that true revelation in our hearts of what thou didst suffer, bleed for us. O Lord, lead us then to Gethsemane and lead us on to Calvary, where thou didst finish thy work. Oh, that we might know that it is truly finished in our souls and that we are ready, that we are found in thee. O Lord, that we have that true prospect, that heaven to come. O Lord, our eyes are up unto thee. Work mightily in our hearts. We have these great desires, but we have a great and an almighty God. O Lord, we have a compassionate God. We pray then that thou wilt look down on us and remember us for good. Oh, that thou wilt come and grant us each a true blessing in this year. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in each heart. Thou hast gathered a goodly number here again this morning. And Lord, we pray that each one might be enabled to ask that question. Do they know the secret? Do I know the secret? Where am I this day? O Lord, cause us each then to truly consider these things, to truly consider our latter end and where we're going, whether we're in that narrow road, whether we're in that broad way. O Lord, thou knowest the answer, and oh, that we each might be enabled to truly think on these things and look to thee to put us in that right way. Oh, to be found to look into Jesus only, to have living faith in our hearts to truly believe in thee and all that thou hast done. Do then, Lord, we pray, work in our midst, with even today, if it can be thy will, that thou wilt use thy word, make it effectual in the hearts of never-dying souls, and, Lord, that thou wilt cause it to enter in to those deaf ears, O Lord, and cause them to hear thy word, to know their need of a precious Jesus, the one that can do all things for us. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause one and another who know their need to find a precious Jesus this day and to be able to speak of what thou hast done, what they have found. O Lord, a precious Jesus, the one thing needful. Do then remember us each here this day and send none empty out of thy house. O Lord, and what we pray for this day, we pray that thou will go on and continue through this coming year. O Lord, thou knowest the various places, circumstances, difficulties and trials that lay before us each, and those times of rejoicing, if it can be thy will. We pray then that thou wilt prepare us each, and that thou wilt grant us each that true living faith to look to thee in all our need. For, O Lord, thou hast said that thou art able and willing to supply all our need. O, may we each be enabled then to truly come unto thee, to seek and to find, to ask, Lord, that it might be given unto us. Thou canst do it. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt work, that thou wilt remember us in mercy and go before us. We pray that thou wilt remember thy servants as they come week by week. Lord, that thou wilt give them that message to bring, and that thou wilt help each one and give them that liberty to deliver it, and that thou wilt use it. Oh, that it might come as a word of a king in our hearts. Lord, the power of thy Holy Spirit is what we seek, what we need. Oh, do put it forth this day and throughout this year, O Lord, and bring forth that honour and glory to thy name. We do pray then that thou remember each of thy servants. O Lord, thou hast seen fit to deprive us of one even this morning, but we pray that thou wilt use thy word, and that thou wilt cause it to be effectual, for nothing is too hard for thee, nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, that we might look to thee and have that true faith to believe these things. Lord, it's easy to say, but oh, do we believe? For if we believe, then all would easy be, we sing. But ah, Lord, do we believe? Help us then to truly believe on thee and come unto thee in all our needs. Needs of time, needs of our bodies here below, and Lord, needs of our never dying souls, for a never end in eternity. Oh, do help us then to trust in thy name. There is but one name, and Lord, may we know it. We pray then for each of thy servants. And Lord, we pray that if it can be thy will, thou might be send one to settle over us, that there might be a true pastor after thine own heart. Do help us each to truly call upon thy name. Oh, for it is something that thou hast promised in thy word. And we pray then that thou wilt come and fulfil it. But Lord, thou hast said, thou wilt be inquired of to do these things for us. Lord, help us each then to call upon thee and to truly inquire of thee, that thou wilt provide for us in all our needs. Thou knowest the way, and we pray then that thou wilt grant us each that true submission and say, thy will be done. Lord, another thing easy to say, but oh, may we know it, may we feel it, may we be enabled to submit before thee. Remember us then in mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with this country of ours. O Lord, thou knowest the need, the confusion, the evil, the wickedness. Oh, each seems to grow worse by the day. We pray, though, that thou who dost reign above all things and seest all things, will have mercy upon us, that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy. And Lord, if it can be thy will, that thou wilt put thy fear in the hearts of some of our rulers, and bring them each to acknowledge thee, to walk in that right way. Turn them, Lord, turn them. Thou canst do it. O Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt subdue and keep under thy control those many powers of evil that seem let loose in our land this day. Do remember us then in mercy, and enable us still to gather in that peace and safety to worship and to praise thy name. O Lord, we have gathered again this day without let or hindrance. O Lord, the biggest hindrance be in our own hearts. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to worship and to praise thy name aright. Do then remember us in this land and turn us again, if it can be thy will. We pray now that thou wilt be with us in this service, and that thou wilt help our brother to read, and that thou wilt use the word preached in time past to the good of our never-dying souls this day, to the honour and glory of thy name. O Lord, do come and grant us each that indeed blessing. Remember us now for good. Forgive us our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. John Green. You will find the text in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 5 and 6. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It is a wonderful thing for those who are growing older to be enabled to look back and to remember God's faithfulness, God's constant care over them throughout their lives, so that we can, I trust, from a gracious experience, seek to encourage others to put their trust and their confidence in this great God. To look back over years of difficulty in many things, and yet to feel that not one thing hath failed of all that God promised. To be enabled to feel that God has been faithful to his word. It is indeed a great thing to know God graciously. And the more of this gracious knowledge we receive of that great and merciful God, the more we shall be enabled to trust him. Naturally, a person would be very foolish to trust a stranger with anything of value. They might very well lose it. But if we have friends whom we have proved, in whom we have every confidence, we learn to trust them. And so the more a sinner is favoured to know of this great God, the more blessed confidence they are enabled to place in him. I said yesterday, if sometimes our friends were to see our agitated state, it may be the way we try to plan things and get thwarted, they would say, surely that poor thing has no God to go to. They do not know the throne of grace, the value of prayer. But I believe where there is this right and blessed knowledge of God, there will be that blessed confidence in him. There will be that confiding in him. And we shall know something of that blessed scripture. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now God speaks to us by his servant in the text, saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Put all thy confidence in him. Commit all thy way unto him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord day by day. The psalmist said, trust in the Lord at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. And that has often been a wonderful word to me. Trust in him at all times. Trust in him for everything. And the thought has crossed my mind, that perhaps today these things may particularly exercise some of us. The first, the all-important matter with us personally, will be our standing for eternity. A great blessing it is to be enabled to go before God, taught by the Holy Spirit that we are guilty, that we are unworthy sinners, and yet to perceive by precious faith what a wonderful Saviour God hath provided for these guilty, unworthy, lost and ruined sinners. We know the name given to Jesus before his wonderful birth was Jesus, the Saviour of poor sinners. A wonderful name when it is really known. Easy to repeat, easy to speak about Jesus. But oh, to know him. Oh, to know that name. To feel the sweetness of it, to be a real believer in that name, to come to that blessed Saviour with all our sins, with all our guilt, and to feel that he does receive us, and for his mercy's sake, does forgive us all those sins. Now, my friends, this is the all-important thing, to know Jesus. And to know him will mean that you love him. And the more you know of him, and the more you realize what he has done for you, the more confidence you will have in him. And to be relieved of one's sins and to be assured of heaven is no small blessing. It is not a blessing we come by easily. If we did, we should not half appreciate it. Whilst there is no merit in our prayers, in our supplications, yet there have to be these that we may be favoured to get to and know this blessed person and receive from him those priceless blessings he has to give. And so, poor sinner, you may trust in him, though you may feel very empty, exceedingly unworthy. There is no reason why you should not put all your confidence in this blessed Lord, and you find that sweet relief from your sins. The Apostle Paul was highly favoured. God blessed him with much knowledge of himself and of his work as that blessed Redeemer. That the apostle put all his trust, all his confidence in his God. And he said, "For I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." A wonderful experience. That is trust. That is confidence. To be enabled to commit your never-dying soul into the hands of that blessed Redeemer and to feel that he does accept you, that he does bless you, that he has taken all your sins and has borne that condemnation due to those sins when he was here on earth, and by imputation his merits become yours. To know the Lord Jesus in this way will be to trust him, and to find sweet Holy Ghost relief day by day. I feel sometimes very sad and alarmed at the powers of unbelief, the giving way there is in us to doubts and fears. It is sin. It casts dishonour on the Lord and contradicts his gracious word. He says, trust. He says, confide in me. Do not doubt. Do not fear. Do not give way to unbelief. These things are dishonoring to me. He holds all nature in his hand. The cattle upon a thousand hills, he says, are mine. The silver and gold is mine. Yet we distrust him. We give way to unbelief. We give way to doubts and fears. It is very serious, you know. It is very, very solemn. We do not treat our God with the respect that we trust our friends, do we? Speak the truth. Some of you trust your friends more than your God. You do not doubt your friends as you doubt your God. Now, must it not grieve him? Would it not grieve me this morning to feel that there were some of you who had no confidence in me? It would indeed. And it would grieve you if you felt I had not that confidence in you. Then when we come to think of that great God, whose word has never failed, who has ever proved faithful, yet we cannot trust him, we cannot confide in him, we do not commit our way to him as we should. We are often full of doubts and fears and gloomy unbelief. It certainly shows we are not the possessors of very much grace. We have not got a very strong faith. You take the case of those three Hebrews of whom we were reading in Daniel chapter 3 this morning. Did you children and young people notice this? They served their God very, very faithfully. They put their whole trust in him. They knew it might be a very costly matter, but they would rather trust their God and put their confidence in him than to bow down and worship that idol which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They absolutely confided in their God. They did trust in the Lord with all their heart, and they left the consequences with him. That is real faith. And so they firmly bind these three men. They make the furnace one seven times hotter than it was wont to be made. It was so hot that Nebuchadnezzar's mighty men were burned up as they threw in these godly men. Yet such was their trust that the fire could not burn them. I suppose many people would read Daniel chapter 3 and say, that never happened. It is just something that is recorded and is but a myth. But my dear friends, that did happen. These three men were thrown into that furnace, and there was not even the smell of fire upon them. because they trusted in the Lord with all their heart. They confided wholly in their God. Now it is a very wonderful thing to be enabled to approach God in humble prayer and to commit your way to Him, particularly if your way is the way of your soul, the eternal destiny of your soul. To be enabled to thus believe in that blessed Saviour and to credit what He has said to you, what He has done for you. So to know and feel the power of His precious blood, so that you put all your confidence in Him. My dear friends, we do not feel the application of that blood in such a marked way every day of our life. No. There was only one memorable Passover night, you know, in the experience of God's ancient people. But they were to record that wonderful event year by year. What a favour it is to be enabled to look back and feel there was a time when you did sweetly feel the power of Christ's atoning blood. And then as you journey on to be enabled, as the Israelites of old sometimes, to commemorate that wonderful event, to remember all the way the Lord your God has led you, to be enabled to recall these things to your mind will enable you to put all your trust and confidence in the Lord and in His most precious blood. It is that precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. There is nothing else for a poor, convinced sinner to trust to but Jesus' precious blood. There is no other remedy provided for sin but this. It is sad to be a stranger to it, solemn to have no knowledge of it, no confidence in it. Then we stand exposed to God's just wrath, and we shall be lost forever and forever. Now God's people are taught by the Holy Spirit how very, very important this is. This truth is revealed to them, opened up to them, and then it becomes the burden of their prayer, the all-important thing in their life, to know the power of Jesus' precious blood and to be enabled to put all their trust and all their confidence in that. It would indeed be a wonderful Sabbath day to any poor, tried sinner who may have come into this place, if God should so bless the word to them and enable them to trust in the Lord, in His precious blood, with all their heart, to renounce everything else, every other trust, every other confidence, and to confide wholly in Him. This is the name wherewith He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That has often been a very attractive word to me, that the Lord should be our righteousness. That He of God should be made unto us righteousness. We certainly have none of our own that we can trust in. It is true that there are thousands and thousands of professors who are trusting to their own good works, so-called. They think, my friends, They will get to heaven upon what they are doing for God. Now that is not a good trust, not a spiritual trust, but it is a false trust. The only ground upon which a poor, unworthy sinner will ever get to heaven is this: not upon what they do for God, but what God is pleased to do for them. What he has done through the person of his dear Son. It is a wonderful thing to be delivered from a legal mind, a legal spirit, a mercy to be well separated, as it were, from your flesh, to know, as the Apostle Paul says, in me, that is, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Then to be enabled to look to Jesus and look to his finished work, to his righteousness, and to trust in that. That is a wonderful verse in one of our hymns, where the hymn writer says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." We like sweet frames, but we must not trust to them. We must only trust to the Lord, to his precious blood and his righteousness. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you can do that, you can never go wrong. You will never be proved wrong in the end, if this is your employment, if this is what you are endeavouring to do in obedience to God's word through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord. There are times when God's people are greatly assailed by Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he may have opposed some of you very, very much of late. He may have endeavoured to call into question the genuineness of your religion. Now, when he does that, what must you do as helped? You must trust in the Lord with all your heart. You must turn from Satan and turn to the Lord. You must say, "Satan, you have been a liar from the beginning. I will not give ear to you. I will listen to what my God has to say, not you." When you can do that, you are obeying another scripture. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And if you and I give way to unbelief and listen to what the enemy has to say, and forget our God, he will work havoc in our souls. He will put us in that place where we know not what to do. Says Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." He put all his confidence in his God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Sometimes we have dark dispensations to pass through, when it seems that neither moon nor stars appear for many days, when perhaps we are unable to find where we really are. Says the psalmist, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Do you sometimes fall short, poor sinner? If you do not, I do. We sometimes seem full of fears, like those disciples on the lake. When their little boat began to fill with water, their fears began to rise high. But in the end, they awoke their Lord, and he rebuked the sea for them. Trust in the Lord, even when the way is dark and thorny. Oh, then, to be enabled to trust in him, and to confide in him, and to feel that the Lord has for some wise purpose withdrawn his sweet felt presence. To begin to examine ourselves, to see why this darkness, why this distress. The Lord may give you light to see the reason for it, and enable you to forsake the wrong. Another time we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart is when we fall by reason of our sins. My mind has gone to David. David fell, and fell very solemnly. But afterwards he said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, not into the hands of men. There may be one of you who has fallen, and you feel the solemnity of the fall. You have brought down guilt upon your head and conscience. Well, my dear friends, this is the time to trust in the Lord, to trust in his mercy, to go before him with a broken heart, as the prodigal did, as David did, to make confession of your sins, and to trust in him to restore you, and to forgive you, and to bless you once more. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Says one good man, all my trust on thee is stayed. He was in a good place when he was enabled thus to speak. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It does seem difficult. It is no easy thing to be a Christian. No easy thing to stand when so much and so many may seem to be against us. Yet Daniel did. He put all his trust in his God. He believed his God would shut the mouths of the lions. That was trust, you know. Wonderful trust and confidence in that great God. You remember good King Hezekiah. We read in the Chronicles, when the enemies of Israel came up against them in great numbers, some hardly knew what to do. But good King Hezekiah said, with them is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. He put his trust in his God. He confided in him amidst this great trial, when surrounded by so many enemies. And my dear friends, this is the only thing you and I can do in our spiritual pathway, as we are often confronted with our enemies, with gloomy unbelief, with all our wretched, deceitful hearts. I find this is just all I can do. I am forced to do it, if you understand me rightly. And I believe some of you are forced to it too, to obey the scripture, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There is nothing else to it. There is nothing else can bring you peace and comfort. It is a sweet word, but we need grace to obey it, to find the comfort and peace that it contains, and to be enabled to trust in the Lord when everything around us shall give way. Is that your prayer? Do you continually pray that when heart and flesh fail, they will fail, there is no doubt about that. We may be absolutely sure of that, that ere long heart and flesh will fail, even in the prospect of death and eternity, you might be enabled to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It will indeed be blessed if that is the case with you. Then we shall realize, more than ever we realized, the value of true faith, of true confidence, and trust in a God who cannot lie, a God who is faithful and true to his word and to his people. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £765, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach this evening. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Izzard, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. 571.
Thank you. Of the Holy Ghost.